I'm going to review with you some things because I think these are very important revelations that we really need to receive and act on so that we, the supernatural church, go immediately into our promised land and take back everything the enemy holds that he has stolen from the church. So let's begin with a very important question. Where are all the miracles? So first, we need to read our main scripture that tells us just exactly who we are. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So right off we see that the church in this time are for signs and wonders in the earth. Gideon in Judges chapter 6 asked this question, and it still is the question the church is asking today. If the Lord be with us, where then are all his miracles? This is a good question because the church was born by a miracle. And the church grew by miracles. And miracles are signs and wonders. Jesus told us signs would follow the believer, and devils would be cast out. They would speak with new tongues. They would lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. I also said that people outside the church are looking for the supernatural with miracles, signs, and wonders. And really, they are looking for us, the supernatural church. And that's why you see so much occult activity. People are looking for something beyond this natural world, and the church has it. When you are talking about the kingdom of God, you are actually talking about the supernatural, because we were born from above. The Bible tells us in John 3:3, we must be born again from above, and we were. As a matter of fact, we were created to have an appetite for the things that are impossible, beyond this natural possible realm. Because there's another realm we came from, and we are able to access that realm. So this supernatural is something that we have to get back to, because miracles are the dinner bell for the unsaved. So people are looking for it, and they want to see Jesus. They want to see this kingdom. And so we have a sign to point them there, a sign and a wonder. We have to have the miracles and the signs and the wonders, because I want to remind you in this review that in this time the church is moving into a place called Canaan, where all the demonic is sitting on all they have stolen from the church, all our goods, and we are going in and we are going to take the spoil, all of it. We have looked at Psalms 103 and Revelations 5 verses 11 and 12 that show us all the kingdom benefits, and they are exactly what the enemy has stolen. Let's read it again in Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Once you get born again, you become a kingdom citizen, and you have benefits. The benefits package you have is located over in Revelations 5 and verse 11 and 12. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Jesus has received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing, but we have received them also, because we are the body of Christ, and we are joint heirs with him. And so all of what is ours. So you do have some benefits, and God does not want you to go without these benefits, and then go to the world for their counterfeit benefits and suffer at their hand. The enemy would love for the church to leave this earth without their benefits, but we are not going to leave this earth without every one of our benefits. Would you please say amen? God wants us to live here just like we are already in heaven, for we really are living out of heaven. We have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So God wants no sickness, no lack, no sadness, and no crying caused by especially this spirit of mammon that works in the world and working for everything and saving and budgeting for everything we can get. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy perfect health and divine prosperity, for it is yours to enjoy right here and right now. We discovered that we are the chosen generation God has chosen to go into the promised land. We are not going to be like Israel, who came out of Egypt into the wilderness and wanted to stay, and then died off and their children had to go over into Canaan to get the promises. No, we are the ones going in, and we are going in with haste, like as David ran with haste to kill Goliath, because God was with him and is with us today. We are going to be fighting against those much mightier than we are. We were made and born for these challenging and hard times to deal with, that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So God told us these times would be hard to deal with, and the giants would be mightier than we are in the natural. It is interesting how God is taking you before people that are much mightier than you are, and he is taking you into the impossible. But you have faith, and faith is the holder of your destiny, and nothing is impossible with faith. So from this time forward, faith is no longer an option, but it is going to require you to use faith. You got to access God's power through faith, because he's got to fight all your battles you are going up against. If he is telling you to do something, and if it doesn't sound impossible, you might want to go back and see if that is what God said, because the impossible is what we are going to do. Why? Because we are now headed for exploits. Daniel talked about exploits in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. "And as much as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Exploits are defined as a deed or an act, especially a heroic act, something that is heroic, a deed of renown, and a great or noble achievement. The world today is looking for heroes and heroines. They are saying that if God is with you, then let me see it. The Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So he wants to get the church back to these acts to point people back to God. So faith is the way that we access the supernatural. Now, Satan wants to deceive people into leaving God out and trying to be a hero on their own, trying to use their own ability and their own strength to do what God has called them to do. Now, that's a deception because faith is something that accesses the power of God, and it releases the power of God into a situation. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." Mark chapter 4, verse 35-36. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." Now watch this. Just get a picture of one ship, and then a lot of other little ships. It's kind of like he is taking these ships to war. Mark chapter 4, verses 37-38. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish?" In other words, we are going to die. Mark chapter 4, verse 39-41. "And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How it is that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They are going into enemy territory, and Satan has come to sink their boat. So now, faith is the holder of your destiny, if you are obeying God and you are going to get there. He's about to take you into the impossible, but you have been created for it. For you to get there, you are going to have faith, because faith is going to connect you with the power and the miracle-working power of God. Satan works pretty much on some kind of deception because his power has been stripped. You find that in Hebrews 2. His power has been stripped because he is left with his power to deceive. And that's where we have to watch it, because he is trying to again steal our trust in God. He's trying to make it so you won't trust a God who created you and is sending you into this assignment. Now, all he is after is this whole idea of doubt. You see doubt when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water going to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus saved him. My point to you is, Jesus said, "O Peter, why did you doubt?" So notice what doubt will do. It will rob you of the supernatural. So the enemy is trying to put in some degree of doubt that God's word is not true. I want to talk to you about in the face of something, and let's take Abraham for example. Abraham had to believe God because he had to access the promises God gave him by faith. We read about that in Romans 4, verse 17. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." So God calls things that be not as though they were. I call it the language of the kingdom. So for you to get things to manifest, you are going to have to call them and say it like God said it. Let's read a little further in Romans 4:18-19. who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in order to get the promised child, Abram couldn't consider his body, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb was actually in the natural dead. The only thing Abram was going to have to consider was the word of God. Abram couldn't consider the report coming back from the doctor if he was in this time, or any other natural evidence. I want you to see that if you consider the word of God, then you can consider the words of a doctor and his report. I am just saying that if you are in the kingdom, then the whole rules are reset, and you have to believe and consider only the word of God and what it says about you. The world doesn't have this, so they have to go with the natural flow, but we don't, because we are of the kingdom of God. That's why if you are taking medicine, then you certainly have to include prayer aligned with the word with it, and the only thing you should consider is the word of God and what it says about you and your condition. I want you to see that you must consider not anything else but the word of God, because this is why we have not seen exploits, and the church is still begging for things to get their needs met. Let's read Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid! Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. So what is true? True is what God said, because God cannot lie. Titus 1:2 tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The reason why God cannot lie is because whenever he speaks, it becomes. Whatever he says is. So if somebody has been diagnosed with something in their body, then we need to go in the Bible and see what God said about it. And so we go to 1 Peter 2:24. Now just look at this now, because this is where healing and the supernatural takes place. It's a level above the natural. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now that's the truth, and everything else is a deception. Let me say that again. Now that's the truth, and everything else is a deception. When we go into our promised land, we have got to have some word to stand on, because the word releases the faith that draws the virtue that will drive anything out of our body that is not according to the plan of God that's already written in heaven about our life. The word will move out anything. It doesn't matter what the professionals say you got. It moves anything out, and the word is creative. What I'm trying to do is get you to realize that technology and the doctors are not the last word. We want to get you to doubt all that technology and what the doctors tell you, and you instead cling to God and his word, which is truth. This that speaks against the truth of the word of God is all deception. Not that all people are trying to deceive you, but it's that you cannot consider both the words of mere men and God's, for what mere men say is not your reality, but what God says is your reality and the truth about you in all cases, every time. Satan doesn't want you to hear this. The reason why is because he wants you to go the limit of what has been naturally diagnosed and have you to stop there, where there is no hope. But when there is no hope, go to the Word and get yourself some hope. Somebody tells you there are no jobs to be had, and you just need to move somewhere else. Just remember, God makes jobs or whatever is needed to provide for His people. Jacob is a very good example of the kind of deception you can fall into when you listen to mere men and not God. Joseph was the favorite son, and his brothers were jealous of him, and they sold Joseph to the traveling band of Ishmaelites. Now Jacob, his father, is about to be deceived. We read about it in Genesis chapter 37, verses 29 through 31. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Now they knew it was Joseph's coat, but they dipped it in the blood of the kid goat because they lost Joseph. Let's continue on in our reading, Genesis 37:33. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob had said this about his son Joseph, and Jacob is a covenant man. God gave promise to Abraham and to his seed through the covenant promise. But Jacob forgot the covenant promise that covered his children as well. In verse 34, And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons and all of his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Satan is a deceiver, and so he tries to deceive you as well into accepting what you see versus what God has already promised. So we are going into the promised land, and so we have to make sure that we are rooted in faith of what God has promised in our covenant with Him, and make sure if we are going to trust anything, it is going to be the Word of God. We are now going into a place where faith and trust in God is no longer an option, but a requirement, because we are going up against forces mightier than our natural minds and natural abilities. We must remember, when God gives us something, we got to receive it by faith. We cannot receive it by understanding it all. We will understand it better, but right now, we have got to receive it by faith. An example of this is found in John chapter 2, starting with verse 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto them, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary said, Whatever he says to you, do it. What Jesus told them to do didn't make sense. We were never meant to be led by our minds. We were meant to be led by our spirits, and God speaks to our spirits, and whatever he says to us, just do it, and guaranteed understanding will come after that. If the Lord tells us to move, we need to do it. If the Lord tells us to give, we need to give it. We may not understand everything, but do it anyway, because for the supernatural, we got to stay in the supernatural and not come down and try to reason it. Satan wants us to come down and reason it because we have been reasoning like the world. We have been trained that way. But when we keep ourselves living after our spirit and doing what we hear him speak to us, then we will stay in faith and trusting the Lord, and we won't be looking up to the spirit and looking down at what is going on in the natural at the same time. We won't consider the natural at all. Abraham kept looking up to the supernatural when God promised him his son and didn't consider what was going on in the natural in his and Sarah's bodies. God told Abraham he was going to give him a seed from his own body, and he told him to look up at the stars, and if he could count them, then he would know the number of his descendants. Now Abraham had to believe that, and he did believe that, and he got his son, his promised son. I'm teaching you the supernatural church. I'm taking you into the impossible. I'm taking you beyond what you can do. I'm taking you beyond what you can believe with the natural mind. Now we need to again go back to what Jesus is asking. Do you believe I am able to do this? Let's read again Matthew 9, verses 27-28. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Jesus is asking us, Do you believe I am able to heal cancer? Do you believe I am able to heal kidneys? Do you believe I am able to give you a new heart? Do you believe I am able to give you new eyesight? Do you believe I am able to get you out of debt? Do you believe I am able to pay your overdue rent? Do you believe I am able to get your college tuition paid without a student loan? See, he didn't ask you if you are able to do it. That's not the question. Do you believe I am able to do this? The church has been trying to do something naturally and not the Lord supernaturally. And so we have not seen exploits. But this is the church's time for great exploits in the church once again. This is the time in the history of the church where God is looking for heroes, looking for people who will go into a place where very few people tread, looking for somebody who can fix this system, looking for a rainmaker, and looking for a game changer. But for the church to do that, we are going to have to believe something that is impossible. We are going to have to trust God. Job said in Job 13:15, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You see, once you step out in faith and do what he tells you to do, you got to trust. You got to trust where you cannot see what he is doing, and you can't trace anything that looks like it is happening. Job's possessions and children were wiped out, and his wife told him, Why don't you just curse God and die? He said, You sound like a foolish woman. You see, Job knew the character of God. You may not know the promise, but you know the character of God. You know God loves you and will forgive you. You may be broke and not able to pay your rent, but you know God will help you. You know if you just ask him, he will come to you. Though God slay you, yet you will trust him. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you've been waiting on God and everything is going wrong, I got some really good news for you. You can trust the character of God. God will have people intercede for you, and here comes the breakthrough in your life. God has you on his heart. He's training you for reigning. He's taking you through the DMZ. Satan is trying to do things that you don't know what he's trying to do. But God's got your number, and God has not forgotten you. Be encouraged. I don't care what you're waiting on. Don't tell me God can't do it. God's got something in the oven and baking for you. People may be laughing at you for whatever you're believing God for, but God will show up. If you just stand on his unchanging word, then God is going to show up. I know you've had a hard way to go, but God's about to give you a series of breakthroughs. Something is about to happen in your life that's going to change things forever. That's just the way our God works. Weeping might last for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Do you believe I am able to do this? That is all he's asking. He's not talking about you doing it. Do you believe he is able to do it? You might ask the Lord, how much longer? But the Lord is saying, not long, not long. So keep on standing on his word, trusting him. Keep that shield of faith up as you meditate and declare the scriptures of promises, and take every thought captive as you consider not everything around you, but only the promises of God to you, and feeding and strengthening your spirit, your inner man, by the word of God. You may feel you are the only person going through something, but you are not. My word to you is not long. Hold on to God and the integrity of his word. God has not forgotten you. Don't ever believe God has forgotten you. God, through faith, can fix anything. There is nothing too hard for God. He said, do you believe I am able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. Then he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So keep your faith out there, believing and receiving, and you will receive that your joy may be full.